You're listening to the teaching ministry of Harvest Fellowship Church in Boyertown, Pennsylvania. You can find out more about us on the web at www.harvestfellowshipchurch.org. We pray that through our teaching, we may present everyone mature in Christ.
Could you please take your Bible and stand for the reading of God's Word? Our New Testament reading and sermon text is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our Lord endures forever. You may be seated.
Let us pray. Almighty God and most merciful Father, we humbly submit ourselves and fall down before your majesty, asking you from the bottom of our hearts that this seed of your word now sown among us may take such deep root that neither the burning heat of persecution cause it to wither, nor the thorny cares of this life choke it out, but that as seed sown in good ground, it may bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold as your heavenly wisdom has appointed. Amen. It is indeed a joy to once again have an opportunity to preach to the people that I have prayed for, cared for, taught, preached to, and have loved for these many years. I struggled as to what passage I would go on this occasion. Many of you are saying to yourself, surely it is from the book of Romans, right? But no. What message would I want to be ringing in your ears as I make my transition to Florida? This morning, my message will be directed primarily to our young people, teens and preteens. Please listen. But I would appreciate that all within the sound of my voice would have ears to hear. I would like to call your attention this morning to the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. It is my intention to examine this brief passage of Scripture under three headings or three questions. Number one, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Two, who do the disciples of Jesus say that the Son of Man is? And most importantly for us this morning, who do you say that the Son of Man is, or who is Jesus Christ to you? All three of the synoptic gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, relate this incident of Jesus questioning his disciples. Mark states in Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 30, "And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that I am?' And they told him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say that I am? Plural, asking all of them. Peter answered, you are the Christ. And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. Luke relates this occasion for us in Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 20. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen. Then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. Matthew's version gives us a little more information, but this morning my intention is only to deal with the questions that Jesus asks. His first question and our first point this morning is, who do people say the Son of Man is? It is noteworthy that Jesus uses the designation Son of Man to refer to himself. He uses this title well over 80 times to refer to himself in the New Testament. He draws the title from the Old Testament passages, primarily from the prophet Daniel, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, which Pastor Barry read for us this morning. Chapter 7, 13 and 14 of Daniel state, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, in his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This Son of Man, we are told, is presented before the Ancient of Days and is given domination and glory, which can only mean he is God himself, for God does not share his glory. We are further told that all the peoples, nations, and languages will serve him. And finally, that he is given a kingdom that is everlasting and cannot be destroyed. Now, the question that Jesus asked his disciples solicited some interesting responses. The first response to who do the people say that the Son of Man is, and they said, some say John the Baptist. Why John the Baptist? It is interesting when John the Baptist was questioned about who he was. Listen to his response in John chapter 1. And this is the testimony of John the Baptist, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, no, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said, now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. the opinion that Jesus could have been John the Baptist raised from the dead was the view of Herod. We read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 1, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus. And he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry. But because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it. And they went and told Jesus. It appears that Herod's guilty conscience and hardened heart was the ground of his opinion. Another response the disciples gave, in addition to some say John the Baptist, is others say Elijah. This view is an interesting view and one worth examining. We have already read in John chapter 1 that John the Baptist had been asked if he was Elijah. Why would they ask that? Well, the prophet Malachi wrote this to his people Israel roughly 400 years before the birth of Christ. "Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction." So then the Israelites looked for this Elijah to come as promised. Look further to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." And they went away. Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The Lord plainly tells us that it is John the Baptist that is the promised forerunner of the Messiah foretold by Malachi. So then Jesus is not Elijah resurrected from the dead. The next response his disciples share in response to the question, who do people say that the Son of Man is others say, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, who wept openly over the sin and rebellion of the people of God. He, like Jesus after him, cried out against the abuses of the temple and the priesthood. We see this same zeal of the Lord in Jesus, who weeps over the city of Jerusalem and clears the temple courts of thieves and robbers and declares that this is a house of prayer. But Jesus is not Jeremiah. Another response of the disciples to the question of Jesus is, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They respond, one of the prophets. Having no explanation of who Jesus is, the common man in the street guessed that he had to be one of the prophets. They had read of and heard of the prophets that God had sent to his people. And as they observed the life and ministry of Jesus, he most closely resembled their understanding and views of the prophets. Today, men and women have many views as to who they think Jesus is. Should you ask people on the street, who do you think Jesus is? You will get a variety of responses. Some say he is a good teacher, much in the line of Gandhi or Buddha, who are seen as great teachers of wisdom and peace. The Jehovah Witnesses of our day say that Jesus is God's first creation and that all else was created through him. He is identified also as Michael the Archangel in their doctrine and is seen as a great teacher who gives out pearls of wisdom. The Mormons or the Church of Latter-day Saints believe Jesus to be one of many gods and, yes, even the brother of Satan. Islam teaches that Jesus was one of many of the prophets of Allah, just as they do with all of the other prophets, including Muhammad. Devout Muslims recite, peace be upon him, after every time they refer to Jesus by name. While claiming to revere the New Testament, they deny his crucifixion and deny that he is the only begotten eternal Son of God, come in the flesh. Most views and opinions of today's man or woman in the street of who Jesus is based upon television specials, movies, and the often and very misleading teaching of television evangelists and showmen. Now, after Jesus asked his disciples, who do people or who do the crowds say that the Son of Man is? He pushes in a little closer to his disciples and asked his second question, which is our second point this morning. Who did the disciples of Jesus say that the Son of Man is? We read in verse 15, he said to them, but who do you, plural, say that I am? Now, in my sanctified imagination, I see the disciples hearing this question and begin looking at one another in dead silence. Like students in a classroom wanting to answer, but afraid that if they don't answer the way the teacher wants them to answer, they will be embarrassed in the presence of their classmates. How long this question hung in the air unanswered, we do not know. But we are told who replied. Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter's reply is short and to the point. There's no mumbling, no mealy-mouth response, no hesitation, but a bold confession and proclamation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The confession of Peter overwhelms us, but the words of Jesus stun us. They cause us to pause. What did he say? First, Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." Jesus uses the word blessed, the same word that he used repeatedly in the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5. But here he states that Peter is blessed, or happy are you, because what Peter understood of Jesus, we are told, was not something Peter came up with on his own or someone else had told him. For we read, "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Jesus declares that understanding that he is the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the promise and the hope of all the world, the Son of the living God, the eternal Son who took flesh and dwelt among us, this revelation came solely by his Father who is in heaven. Now, we have been conditioned in the church in America to think that we, through argumentation, can bring someone to the knowledge and understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that men and women just need someone to sit down and explain to them that their ignorance is one of a lack of information, and all they need is to be educated, and they too will understand. We have been taught that sinful men and women are leading the self-directed life, and that they are sitting on the throne of their heart. And if they will ask Jesus, he will come in and take his rightful place on the throne of their life. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." In the Gospel of John, we read in chapter 1, verse 10, "He," Jesus, "was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Those who believe in his name, those who were born again, do so because he gave them the right, the authority to become the children of God. Verse 13 of John chapter 1 tells us exactly what Jesus said in our text this morning. "Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." He continues in John 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." This blessedness, this happiness that comes from knowing that Jesus is the Messiah of God, his eternal Son, come in the flesh, comes to us by the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to the great exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Sometimes these familiar texts become too familiar and we miss what they are truly saying to us, because we know one verse in the context. But listen to the words. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. To know who Jesus is a work of God, plainly, and not of man. We read in the book of Jonah, salvation is of the Lord. Listen now to the words of Jesus in John 17 in what we call his great high priestly prayer. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him all authority, given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life. Listen. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This knowing goes way beyond a mere intellectual apprehension. It is a knowing of affection, a love, a deep heartfelt devotion. It is indeed a gift of God. Now we have observed this morning the answer to Jesus' first question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? We saw that there are many wrong conclusions that men and women cling to. We have observed the answer to Jesus' second question, who do the disciples of Jesus say that the Son of Man is? Peter, as their spokesman, declares, He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as we have seen, that this is not a discovery made by flesh and blood, but it is a revelation, a gift, given by God the Father in heaven. But the question that is the most important question for us this morning is, and especially you young people, Who do you say that the Son of Man is? Or who is Jesus Christ to you? You can be wrong about many things in your life, but you cannot afford to be wrong in your answer to this question. You might think that the Dallas Cowboys are the best NFL team, and you'd be wrong. Hey, you might think that pineapple and ham goes on pizza, and you'd be wrong. you cannot afford to be wrong about who the Son of Man is and who Jesus Christ is to you. The apostle writes for us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 through 24, "Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father." Excuse me. So, if answering the question, who is Jesus, is the most important question we can answer in this life, and if this revelation comes not of flesh and blood, but comes from the Father, how then do we receive it? When we studied the Gospel of John together on Wednesday evenings, every week that I taught, we read together the words that John wrote explaining why he wrote the book, the Gospel according to John. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, we read these words: "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John's desire is that you, the reader or the hearer, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He wrote 21 chapters in that gospel relating the life and ministry of Jesus Christ that we might have life. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10 and verses 11 through 17, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." It is through the proclamation of the gospel that Christ is revealed to sinful man. When God in his graciousness reveals to a man, a woman, or a boy or a girl that they are a sinner and in need of a Savior, Christ Jesus is revealed by the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. Because all of Scripture reveals God's plan of redeeming fallen humanity from Genesis through Revelation, it is with burning hearts that we hear the words that Jesus spoke to the downcast disciples on the road to Damascus in Luke chapter 24. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now, as we come to God's word, his holy scriptures, we see Jesus in every book of the Bible. As we read hear, and examine God's inspired word, we discover that Jesus is seen in types, shadows, and pictures throughout all Scripture. Listen to some of these types, shadows, and pictures that reveal the person and work of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our great high priest. In the book of Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is the reigning king. In Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of the broken down wall of human life. In Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is our day spring on high and our everlasting redeemer. In Psalms, he is our good shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. In the Song of Songs, he is the lover and the bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he is the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he is the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is that wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, he is the husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit and fire. In Amos, he is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is mighty to save. In Jonah, he is our great foreign missionary. In Micah, he is the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he is God's evangelist, crying, "Revive thy work in the midst of the years." In Zephaniah, he is our Savior. In Haggai, he is the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is the fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. In Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing on his wings. Who do you say that I am? Who is this Son of Man? Why, in Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he is the Savior, proclaimed in power and might. In Romans, he is our justifier. In Corinthians, he is the Lord of the church. In Galatians, he is the Redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he is the Christ of unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's the God who supplies all of our needs. In Colossians, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is our soon coming king. 1 and 2 Timothy, he is our mediator between God and man. In Titus, he is our faithful pastor. In Philemon, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he is the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he is the great physician. In 1 and 2 Peter, he is the chief shepherd who shall soon appear. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he is everlasting love. In Jude, he is the Lord coming with 10,000s of his angels. In Revelation, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's Abel's sacrifice. He's Noah's rainbow. He's Isaac's well. He's Jacob's ladder. Issachar's burden. Samuel's horn of oil. David's slingshot. Isaiah's fig poultice. Hezekiah's sundial. John's pearly white city. Peter's healing shadow. Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons. Who is he? He is the husband to the widow. He is the father to the orphan. He is the pearl of great price and the rock in a weary land. He is the Prince of Peace, and the government of my life and your life is upon his shoulders. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, if we are honest, we will admit that knowing Jesus, who he is and what he does, is not something that comes to us immediately after we confess our sinfulness and trust in Christ alone for our salvation. No, we learn over time that he is Jesus, sent from the Father to save his people from their sin. He is Christ, the Messiah, the anointed of God. He is the Son of the living God, fully God and fully man, the only mediator between God and man. This knowledge, this understanding grows and deepens as we come and humble ourselves under the ordinary means of grace. As we come and hear the sermons on Sunday mornings, as we come to Bible studies, as we gather together in corporate prayer, as we fellowship with other Christians, and as we daily read scriptures and pray, we begin to understand who Jesus is. We discover that, like Peter, we can proclaim he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This morning, I implore you, whether you have been a Christian for many years or today is the first time that Jesus has even remotely been attractive to you, to turn to him, repent, and believe. To daily seek him out in Holy Scriptures. To seek to know more of him day by day. Listen, answering the question, who do you say the Son of Man is life's most important question. I pray your response to this question is like Peter's. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now, let us bow before the majesty of our gracious God. Oh God, this morning, it is our desire to know Jesus, to know him in all of his beauty and majesty. We know that to know him in his fullness cannot be attained in this corrupt flesh. But we in faith look to that day when we, with the Apostle Paul, can say, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? O Lord, we pray this morning, give us Jesus.